Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. And today I'm going to be reviewing a book called Six Wakes by Mer Lafferty. And this is a book which was recommended to me on the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com. Where people can go to the books I would like to see reviewed. And I think Lindsay mentioned it here. He says, Six Wakes by Mer Lafferty. Locked, a locked room murder mystery with six clones on board a long-term starship wake to find their originals murdered. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And I'd got through. I think somebody else mentioned it that they also wanted to see this one reviewed, or to hear this one reviewed, I guess, is probably the better name for that discussion. Thread. Anyway, so yeah, let's go over to Goodreads and I'll give you a little bit of background about this. It was published on the 31st of January 2017. I didn't realise it was that recent of a book, but there you go. Paperback, 364 pages. I listened to it as an audiobook, and as an audiobook, it was probably around about like 9 hours or something. I'll just quickly pop over here and check it out. So yeah, not too long of a read. A pretty brisk read. This is the same thing all the time. Like 9 hours and 44 minutes audiobook. So pretty brisk read. And yeah, it's very much like a locked room murder mystery in the style of a Poirot, Agatha Christie kind of thing. So there's this person. Who is the killer? Maybe more than one. Anyway, so the setup is that there's clones, and in this world, it's sort of like set 400 years in the future, and clones exist, and you can get your brain scanned and put into a clone. But there's clones, and then there's normal people, and the normal people have somehow managed to keep enough power to put in place these laws that clones, you can only ever have one of any one person at a time. You can't have lots of your different clones running around. And again, I'm not quite sure how realistic this world is, if you actually take as read that that clones can exist and someone can just keep cloning themselves, because it does happen in this book that you can have more than one person alive. But natural human, I think if everyone could clone everyone, they might take over pretty quickly and natural people might be left behind. But it does seem that there was kind of a bit of manufactured controversy at the start of the cloning process that made sure it was locked down. The whole idea was locked down with rules and laws and societal norms and everything before it could take off, and before the clones could take over everything and become the most powerful. And these laws are called the codices, codicils. And so they're put in place. There's different things, like I say, only one of any one person at a time. Always the last clone with your memories is the one that has to be there. So if there's an earlier you and a later you, the later you is always, you've got to, you know, put the memories from the earlier you into the later you and bump that one off. And there's some fun stories. This is all, like I say, all the action is set on this spaceship going to another planet, but there's lots of flashbacks each time someone wakes up, or each time they say, okay, this, we're going to now tell this person's story, we're going to get a bit of a flashback to their earlier life. And there's some fun things. One person was an assassin, and they were hired to kill clones, and this assassin meets someone who she has to kill, and they're like, oh, you're going to kill me, okay, that's fine, but you're going to come and work with me. And she's like, yeah, okay, I will, but I still have to kill you. I can't be paid off. Like, you can't just pay me double my contract on your head not to kill you. I have to kill you, but it's okay because you're a clone. And so what I enjoyed about this book is this idea of, like, okay, clones exist. What goes on? Like, what is, you know, who are you as a person? What could go wrong? What could go right? And lots of these ideas of, like, okay, I'm here and my clone is sitting there. I should kill that other clone because I'm a later clone, but I'm going to keep them alive. And what's it like to see yourself and then to kill yourself? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? This is what the enjoyment for me of this book comes down to, is these clones that are in a room and they have to talk to each other. And the interaction of clones, and like I say, in the flashbacks, we get a lot more interaction between people. Like, one person is protesting against clones, and somebody else is protesting against clones for religious reasons, that clones don't have souls, but then he is turned into a clone, and you're like, oh, okay, well, what happens then? What do you think now? So that's one part of this. Now, one of the main characters in this book is a hacker, with the idea being that when you put the memories, well, actually, there's two kinds of hacking. There's the DNA hacking. So if you're making a clone and you have MS or some other kind of disability or something that's really bad for you, you can edit the genes, the human like DNA level, and to fix that. So when you're brought back as a clone, you can have a healthy 20-year-old body to be put back into. And you're like, okay, that's one way of doing it. But the other kind of hacking is the mind hacking, like removing people's memories, changing people's personalities, removing aspects of their personality, adding in different things. You're going to make this person into a sociopath. You're going to make this person not believe this or think something different as well. And that's a lot more complex hacking. And one of the characters, in fact, our main character, as stated by Goodreads, Maria Irina, she has no memory of how she died, but she is one of these. She is one of these hackers, brain map hackers, and they put their brain maps that's been scanned into their clones. Now, all the action is pretty much set on a spaceship which is going from Earth to another planet, and there's different kinds of cargo on this spaceship. One lot of cargo is normal human beings, and they're in these. Then they're in these like freezers, I guess, and they're ready to go. So normal human beings are being taken over, but also being taken over are clones. And you don't actually have to store the clones' bodies. I mean, you can, but because they can be printed out on these kind of like flatbed printer kind of whatever, 3D printing extruders. Down to the cellular molecular level, you just have to keep their mind scans and enough of the substance that you can, the protein substance that you can use to make the clones, and that's called life. It's just that's the kind of building material of all the carbohydrates and proteins or whatever's needed in there, all the different molecules. You can use that to print stuff out. And which I think is quite good fun thing. And they also use it to print out food that they need. Now, the reason why these clones are on board is that these clones have to run the spaceship, this generation ship. Well, it's not a generation ship. This cold sleep clone ship, which is going to another planet. And it's going to take 400 years. And they have to have humans alive. There is an AI that's running the ship, helping to run the ship as well. But you need a crew of 6 people to do it. And it's going to be a very long, boring job. So to find people who are willing to do this, they're like, hey, if you've got anything criminal in your past or anything that you can't get jobs or whatever, come along and we'll wipe your state clean. When you arrive on the new planet, you'll get some land. It's actually a really good deal for people if they're in prison or if they need to move on from life and get away from a different situation. And so each one of these people are on there and they've each got a hidden past and they're not telling each other. Now, the story starts 200 years or no 20 years actually I can't even remember how many yeah I think it's 20 years after the start of the spaceship, start of this mission. We've left Earth, out of contact from Earth, and then everybody wakes up new and they realize that their old bodies have been killed, but they don't have the memories from that 20 years of the mission so far. They only have their previously scanned, their emergency scans of when they were first scanned, not emergency scan, like these backup scans from when they first joined the spaceship. Someone had like, hey, let's scan them now, but their latest scans have been deleted. So when they're reprinted, they have the memories from the last time that they were printed. And yes, they all wake up and all of their previous bodies, except one, has died, has been killed in some way. And that one is in a coma in the in the hospital area of the ship. And yeah, and so there it is. Okay, 6 dead people, 5 dead people, one person in a coma who can't wake up and tell anybody what's happening. And then 6 people going, who killed us all? Did this person kill this person? This person killed this person? And as we delve into their personal relationships with different people between them and look into their backstories, we discover more about, oh, this person got a beef with this person. This person might have a beef with this person. Oh, maybe these 2 people were connected to each other before they left Earth, or maybe they're not, or, what's going on back and there. And again, I don't need to go back in. This is pretty much the setup of the world, and I've said what I enjoyed about the story so far, which is, again, this, like, all the cloning stuff, but also the editing of memories, and, like, this person used to have, like, 3 different clones of himself, and then they were all edited into one person and put back into his brain, so now he's got, like, 3 personalities in his mind warring against each other. And that's what I really enjoyed about this this story, is all of these different questions and the interactions and the ways that the different cloning laws are broken and played with. And as I was seeing this, again, it's one of these weird things that the setup of it is I actually really enjoy, but I'm like, how is this going to play out? This doesn't seem realistic that this is all going to play out. And while the final character motivations and the reveals of the twists and turns and whodunit and all of that kind of stuff, I was a little bit like, is this really going to come together? And to be honest, it did all come together, which was a big surprise. I thought I was reading, well, this is obviously a plot hole. This is not going to work. And I'd say it 95% works. There's still a few things where I'm like, really? But still, most of it all went really well. However, it's not all plain sailing. Two things. First of all, the writing, the characters are fun, the setup is fun, the world is fun, but the writing is very pedestrian. It's not really amazing writing. And you can really tell this by, I looked at my notes and all I did was actually list the different characters. Johanna the Doctor, Maria, the cook and housekeeper, Wolfgang, the security guy, Katrina, who's the captain, Hero, the pilot, Paul, who is the computer server guy, and Ian, who is the artificial intelligence. There's kind of seven people, well, seven characters that are interacting with each other. Those characters. I made one other note here, and that is severed the connection. And it's whenever two people talk on the radio and one person hangs up on the phone, it's she severed the connection, and he severed the connection, and I realized, the writer, Merva Lafferty, who's writing this, has said, severed the connection. She's like, that's a good phrase. But the point is, it's not a great phrase. It's like severing the connection doesn't really work with what they're talking about. When you sever a connection, it's not really what's happening there. But she keeps using it like three or four times through the book to say, and then she hung up. But you don't really hang up. You don't sever connection. Disconnected, stop talking. What is the way to say stop talking, close the connection? But severing the connection didn't really work for me, and there's so many times throughout this I'm just like, is that really the wording that you're going to use? It's really like not the greatest writing on a kind of word choice and interesting sentence structure. It's very, as you know, like just very like, well, this, then this, then this. And that comes back, that brings me back to my second point, is actually the writing of the characters and the revealing of the information is generally like, okay, now we're going to find out more about this person. Like, so no characters within the story are really the mystery solving figure. They're all trying to find out each other's mysteries. They're all trying to do, but there isn't like one person who's like, right, now I am Poirot, I am Miss Marple, or I am, you know, whoever the people are on these, TV shows, I am Sherlock Holmes, or I'm even Watson, who's looking at Sherlock Holmes do this. In fact, to be honest, it's actually more like Sherlock Holmes, because what I don't like about Sherlock Holmes is that we never really see inside of Sherlock Holmes' brain, or not the stories that I've read and the adaptations that I've seen. It's much more like he's so much elsewhere. He just looks at the situation and goes, and I knew it because of this, and I knew because of that. And I was like, well, that wasn't accessible to me as a reader. Here is the different problem, is that we don't even get those thought processes. We just get people, you know, interacting with each other and talking to each other, and then kind of there's some action, fighty, runny, chasey stuff as well. But in the end, it's just sort of people go, you do this and I do this. And it's like, well, it didn't really feel like anybody was learning anything. And me as a reader, I only felt like I was learning something with just finding out more about the backstories of these people. And I did work out what the twist was going to be. In fact, there was two different twists, because I'm not going to go into it now, but there was two different things which I thought could be going to be happening, but there was one character behind both of them, and I was like, well, I know it's definitely this character who is behind this, and it could be for this motivation or that other motivation, and it was that other, it was actually my second choice motivation, but that's good. It shouldn't be the first thing I think of, but it's kind of a bit annoying that it was just only the second thing that I thought of. But like I'm saying, to get there, it was never really, there was never really any interesting reveals. There was never a moment where one of the characters looked at somebody else, noticed something that they were doing or looking at or holding or being, and then going, I've made this connection. The connections were always made by one person saying something like, I did this and this and this. And it's sort of like, well, I also did that and that and that. Well, that means this. It's sort of like, well, why are all the reveals about, you know, people just revealing information about themselves? Why can't other people deduce them? So it's sort of like a mystery book with lots of statements, not a lot of deduction. And I kind of wanted a bit more deduction in this. What else do we have to say about this? Oh, yes, it is an audiobook, and it's narrated by Merle Lafferty. And I didn't recognise the name Merle Lafferty. Well, I knew I'd recognised it, but I didn't realise where I'd recognised it from. It turns out she's a podcaster, and I listened to some of her podcasts years and years and years ago, which is why I don't remember it. Probably 9 years ago or something, I listened to some of her podcasts. But I did recognise her voice, and she is the narrator. And she's okay at narrating. One thing that I did have a problem with, though, is while the characters, when they're written, are written differently, and you can kind of, like, just if you just read the statements of what was there without attribution, you could kind of tell who is talking or who isn't talking. But she doesn't put on any character voices. So the Wolfgang and Hero and Katrina and Johanna and Maria and Paul and Ian and Hero, all of these people, even though they have different backgrounds and different genders and one of them is a computer and all this, there's never really any moment, there's never any different inflection on the voice. There's not really any acting, character acting, voice acting, accents or anything like that, which is okay with the way it's written. It's not like Red Shirts where Will Wheaton is reading stuff and he doesn't do any voices. He just keeps reading someone, something, 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 said Katrina. Something, 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 said Wolfgang. And you're like, okay, so I have to keep in mind, like, I don't know who is actually talking, saying any of this as I go through until I hear the attribution at the end. It's really difficult to keep every line and every spoken word of dialogue in, like, this quantum uncertain state of it could be this person talking, it could be that person talking. It's only when we get to the end and we get the attribution, which I finally work out who's talking. It's not that bad. She does get around that problem by actually just having some writing, you know, in the situation. This is obviously one person, this is obviously the next person. They kind of kept clear. But in a way, it kind of makes me sad that it hadn't been narrated by a really good narrator. I just started listening to another audiobook, which is narrated by Ralph Lister. And I'm like, okay, Ralph Lister, really good audiobook narrator. And I can't think off the top of my head, but there's some... what did I hear recently? In The Seven Surrenders, that's one where there's lots of different characters narrated by T. Ryder Smith and Two Like the Lighting, Jefferson Mays, The Stone Sky, Robin Miles, who is doing the Broken Earth series. There's a skill that a professional narrator can bring to a book, which the author, while you think, oh, the author knows exactly who's talking and what exactly needs to be done, but you know what? A professional narrator is really good. Anyway, if you want to check out this audiobook, you can do it for free. Go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and sign up for a free trial with audio there. And if you do, you help support the podcast a bit. Don't get much money in from there, but it is handy to help support the podcast and the hosting and also my book reading. I don't accept any books for free. Anyone who says, hey, can I send you a copy or an ebook or anything like this for me to review, I say no. I do actually purchase all of my books that I read, and the Audible trial, not the Audible trial, because I've been a member of Audible for many years now, but the Audible subscription, I get 2 books a month, and I get through these, as you can see, and have a lot of fun with it. So go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and help support my own reading and the SFBRP. And you get a free book. That's what I meant to say. It's a free trial, you get a free book, and it's yours forever when you sign up. Anyway, I'm not sure what else I have to say about this book. It's fun enough. It's nothing special. There's nothing really wrong about it. I can see if you're not much into a kind of six-way murder mystery, everyone together in a room and revealed who's in charge, or not who's in charge, but who's to blame and things like that as we go through. It's a lot of fun. And what I do like about it, it's that it's a new way of doing it. I mean, I've read many stories and seen TV shows and movies and stuff about people who've been cloned and then their previous clone has been killed. And I'm like, okay, we need to find out who killed my previous self. You know, that idea isn't new. But I don't think off the top of my head, I can't remember a story where 6 clones have woken up and they're all dead and they're all blaming each other. It's like a new take on the whodunit mystery, Agatha Christie kind of everyone on a train, everyone on a ship, whatever. What is it? On the Nile, Orient Express kind of thing. This is the spaceship going through space. Who done it? And it's fun enough. So I'm going to give it 3 stars, which is good. It means it's above average. I enjoyed it. But it didn't really grab me in a way which this kind of thing is never going to be a book that I really, really love. But I'm happy to have read it, and I would recommend it to other people. No, let's say 3.5 stars. Yeah, 3.5 stars. That's kind of my feeling at the moment. I put 3 stars on Goodreads, but only because I guess you can only give it 3 stars or 4 stars. You can't give it 3.5. But here, on my totally subjective, how much did I enjoy reading it podcast, 3.5 stars. It's good. So I think that's it. I'm going to get on with some more reading. I'm not quite sure what the next book is going to be. I did start listening to another Malazan Book of the Fallen book by Stephen Erickson, but that's like 43 hours. So I'll probably read another book before I finish that one. I've got another N.K. Jemisin series, which I might have a look at, The Killing Moon, Dreamblood, Book 1, whatever. I have that too. And if you've got any other books that you'd like to see me review or have hear me review, email me, luke@juggler.net. That's a good way. Also, become my friend on goodreads.com. That's the best way that I can see what you're reading too. And go over to the SFBRP listener group and check out the thread Books. I would like to see reviewed. There's now 407 comments there. And if you suggest something and then somebody else says, yes, I agree, read this, I'm much more likely to read it. So if more people agree with you, I'm more likely to read along too. So yeah, that's it. Oh, actually, talking of friends on Facebook, who else? No, on Goodreads, who else? Lindsay rated it 4 stars. Carlex rated it 4 stars. Fred Hughes, 4 stars. Colin Forbes rated it 4 stars. Tudor, I read 50% of this and it was a good book, but then my mind wandered to more interesting places and I've forgotten about it. Yeah, I can kind of see this. Like, if this book isn't grabbing you, I can understand it. But yeah, it's got some pretty good reviews, like mostly 3, 4, 5 stars reviews. Pretty good 3.87 rating overall. So check it out. It's good fun. Right, I think that's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening and I'll catch you next time.